Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Question Reality. I'm your host, Priscilla Leona, and we are coming to you live from Los Angeles, California. If this is your first time tuning in, our show will help you to question your career reality. Now, this show is for you if you are considering a career in the entertainment industry. Our guests will provide advice on how and what it takes to successfully pursue a career in the entertainment industry. Our guests include Emmy winners, Grammy winners, Tony winners, reality TV stars, producers, directors, actors, singers, casting directors, talent managers, screenwriters, novelists, and the list goes on and on and on. So, if they are working professionally in show business, we are going to have them on the show to give you entertainment career advice. We make sure that our guests are at different stages of their careers, from professional to beginner. So that means that we will definitely have someone on the show who will be able to help you with all of your show business career questions. We have been on the air since 2008, and you can find any of these interviews on our archive page. So to get there, you just go to our website, latalkradio.com. You go to channel one link, and there's a drop down box that will appear, and you just click Question Reality, and that takes you directly to our archive page. And that's where you can find a wonderful, wonderful, just a huge list of all different types of careers. Great, great sage advice. So our shows are also available to listen to or download on iTunes under the podcast section. And we're also on Stitcher.com. Just go to those websites and type Question Reality Radio in the search box and you'll find us. Now, if you want to find out who's going to be on our show, all of our future guests, you have to go to a totally different website. That's the official Question Reality website, and that address is questionrealityradioshow.com, questionrealityradioshow.com. You can also, we are currently booking for the new year, so you can go there and submit your request to be a guest on the show. If you're working professionally in the industry, we would love to consider you for a guest. Now, I also want to encourage you to download our free app for your Android and iPhone so that you can be able to listen to all of our other exciting and informative shows here on LA Talk Radio. And to download the app, go to the homepage of the latalkradio.com website, and the app is located towards the bottom of the page. You just have to do a little scrolling, but it's there. And that's it. There you go. Now, as always, we have a fantastic guest for you. We have every week, but I think this is my very first time having this particular type of guest on the show. His name is Anthony DeLongis, or DeLongis. Oh, Lord, I just forgot. He told me a second ago. my mind comes and goes. He's multi-hyphenated, and as you know, when you're in the entertainment industry these days, you most likely will be multi-hyphenated if you want to work, if you need some bread and butter, if you need some cashola, moolah, cabbage, you got to be multi-hyphenated. So Anthony is a fight coordinator, a weapons expert, a stuntman, a director, a choreographer, an actor, and I think there are a couple more things that he is that we'll talk about if I left anything out. He is in the Black Belt Hall of Fame, the USA Martial Arts Hall of Fame, the International Knife Throwers Hall of Fame. He's also a member of SAG, AFTRA, AEA, ACTRA, AMPUS, and ADIS. And That is just so impressive. So some of the questions that we're going to be covering today in the career advice portion of our show are which martial art or additional skills are most beneficial to a career as an actor? Which ones do you recommend to males and females? And how can we encourage more females to add martial arts, fight and weapons training to the resume? And most importantly, the question I get asked all the time about budget. Poor little actors just starting out. My goodness, you know, they're all on a budget. So if you're on a budget, what skill sets should you add first? So those are just some of the many questions we're going to be asking Anthony today. Just real briefly, I mean, his resume is very extensive and I could take the whole 50 minutes to tell you about it. But just real quick, he has performed and trained with some of the biggest names in the entertainment industry, including Michelle Pfeiffer, Harrison Ford, Brendan Fraser, Jet Li, Ron Howard, Yuen Wu Ping, Tim Burton, David Carradine, Patrick Swayze, Angelica Houston, Placido Domingo, and Charlton Heston, just to name a few. And his credits span film, television, theater, motion capture, voiceover, and opera. So that is pretty intense. So there you go. Now, the reason I brought Anthony on is I want to incorporate more of the behind the skills. I can't even talk today. You'd think I had like four glasses of wild turkey today, but I only had coffee. So I don't know. It's kicking in. Now, I want to the topic of discussion I feel that I wanted to cover before the end of the year was the importance of having various skills as an actor, such as combat for stage and screen training and martial arts and parkour and sword fighting. Because in film today, more than ever, or at least since the 70s, I feel that actors should have a wide variety of skills in the toolbox to basically increase the chances of landing a role in an action film, which there are more and more of these days. So whether it's a knife fight or a sword fight or hand-to-hand combat, jumping from a building like Spider-Man, or even for a Shakespeare production, you need training and experience. And fight scenes of all kinds should excite an audience and also define a character and just kind of move the plot forward. So, you know, there just needs to be a believable exchange that evokes a visceral reaction from the audience. So you could do this in a myriad of ways, and this can be done via a slap even, or a push if it's done correctly. And again, fight scenes should excite an audience and define a character and move a plot. So incorporating violence into your film, TV, stage production, you know, it just basically enhances your production. So unfortunately or fortunately, whatever type of entertainment that floats your boat, you need to have some of these skills to be considered today. So without further ado, let's talk to the man who knows it all and can help you do that. Welcome, Anthony DeLonges.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Wow. Well, it is absolutely true. I hope you agree with my thought process about how people in the entertainment business, especially actors, should be including more of knife fights and sword fights and hand-to-hand combat and parkour and all these other things, because this is just what we're seeing more of these days in the action films. So I want to talk to you about, first of all, I know you're the president of Palpable Hit Productions. I want to start out with saying, is this your film production company? And if so, what sort of films or projects do you produce?
Yes, it is. A couple of different things. I have a Western trilogy that I have finished the first two chapters of. The first film was called Blood Trail. I was receiving the Dragon Award for Action Excellence in my career in film. I worked both sides of the camera. We'll get into that a little more later at the Action Film Festival a couple of years ago. And I was working in Spain on location. I was like, hey, I'm at a film festival. I should do a film. So I contacted Del West and said, would you mind if I interviewed him? He says, nope. You know, I know it's you. It's going to be good. It doesn't matter your past deadline. Just send me what you want. And so we won Best Western that year. And then the next year I decided to continue the story with Chapter 2, which is called The Trail Home. And I'm currently writing Chapter 3, which is Trail's End, with the idea of combining all three chapters in the film. The other part of my production company is I produce instructional DVDs. I trained Harrison Ford and Michelle Pfeiffer and Ellen Barkin and Angelica Houston and a long list of other people with the whip. I am one of the foremost whip artists in the world. I actually created a more efficient, more effective, more accurate way of working with the whip, which I share with Michelle Pfeiffer and then later Harrison Ford. And so I have some DVDs on that. I have a new one coming out, Mastering the Bullwhip Advanced Techniques for when you're ready to work on a professional level. Here's how to get to that level. Can you still hear me? I just heard a strange sound.
Yes, but you're telling all of the good stuff, and I got all of that stuff lined out, and you're giving it all to us in the first. We're not going to have anything to talk about. I'm going to say let me. You're a member of several organizations, which most people in show business know. They know SAG and AFTRA and ANA and AEA and ACTRA, which I think is a Canadian version of the Actors Union. But what is AMPIS and ADIS?
The Academy of Motion Picture Arts and the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences.
Oh, I should know.
Which is the Academy Awards. I belong to that as an actor. And I'm also in the Television Academy of Arts and Sciences, which is... both as an actor and also as a stunt professional. So
that would be ADIS. Okay, got that covered. Now, you're also in the Black Belt Hall of Fame, as we said, the U.S. Martial Arts Hall of Fame, International Knife Throwers Hall of Fame. So impressive, but I would actually be scared of you and might not want to hang out with you if you had a couple drinks and you got mean. I'd be scared of you because that's like some intense training. So what does one have to achieve to be amongst the panel of this elite?
Well... it is very nice to get that kind of acknowledgement. I've been studying bladed weapons and martial arts some 44 years and counting. It's really a life journey. I got into it because, as you so wisely said earlier in the program, an actor needs to have skills. The more skills you have, the choices you have, and your art is in your choices. And one of the strongest storytelling tools there are, I believe, is physical action. And, there's many different ways to manifest that. Sometimes it's in violence, sometimes it's in, particular use of weaponry. But to me, that's part of the actor's, this is part of his business because it's an opportunity. You can take your portrayal into the physical, visceral realm where the audience has to respond on, a much deeper level than just an intellectual. They're not voyeurs anymore, now they're participants. And that's the power of action. Also, when you develop these skills, it gives you a confidence and a credibility that is priceless for an actor. So I very much encourage people to go out and add to that so that, it gives you a chance. When I worked with Michelle Pfeiffer, I trained her with the whip, and it's all Michelle. She had Kathy Long, world kickboxing champion 5 times. She had Trish Peters, a world-class gymnast. They were helping her with little inserts and things like that, but no one got anywhere near her skill with the whip because she realized I was trying to give her another vocabulary for her portrayal. And when we were all finished, she said this wouldn't have worked nearly so well if you weren't an actor yourself because I could communicate that to her. One of the things I do is I specialize in helping actors make the most of their action opportunities by developing their skills at whatever it is they're going to need for a particular project. So people come to me from all over the country, all over the world to train, and and work on things together. So if I'm not in front of the camera myself, I really enjoy helping other artists.
Absolutely. Now, as an actor, which you are, you co-starred in the popular movies Fearless, Roadhouse, Masters of the Universe, and it goes on and on. Again, too long to for the show.
You can go to my website.
I know that we're going to touch upon that a little later. I loved Patrick Swayze in everything he did, especially the film Roadhouse. So, I just recently watched that. What character did you portray? How did you get the role? And what was your experience like working with Patrick Swayze, my love?
Okay, in that order, I play a character called Ketchum. I'm the guy with the razor in his boot.
Yes, so I
have several encounters with Patrick and lose all of them. There's actually an additional one that didn't make it to the final. I'm battling with him while Sam Shepard is battling Marshall Teague in the pool room. We're just off camera doing, you know, yet another set too. But anyway, it was a lot of fun. Patrick was a dancer, but he's trained by, one of the finest fighters in the business, Benny the Jet Ortiz, who trained him with music, which was very smart on his part. And Patrick and I worked very well together. He loved working with me. He said, "This is like dancing." I said, "We don't have to make the crap out of each other. We're creating the illusion of that, but we're still taking care of our partners." So I very much enjoyed working with him on that.
Did you have to audition just like a normal person, what, or did they call you because you had these skills that they needed?
Oh, I got to audition, and it's always a pleasure and a privilege when you get to. That's one of the frustrations in the business is sometimes doing the job. I love the work because it always demands your very best, and I like rising to that occasion. But probably the most difficult thing for an actor in the business is getting the opportunity to show what you can do. And that's where you usually need professional help. Good representation helps a great deal. If you don't have that, it is much more difficult. But I had the opportunity to go in and read for a part. But as often happens, they don't necessarily make it the best experience for you. I was introduced when I came into the room, with the director. He said, "This is Anthony DeLongis. He's another black belt." But that was my introduction, and I had to kind of, just roll my shoulders, shake that off, and do a good job in the reading, which I did.
Well, they didn't have somebody there like to do some karate or some fight scenes with you. You just read the lines just for...
I'm trying to remember. I think somebody might have asked me to do something. I also was coming in with a pretty good resume at that point, and I think we might have done a little bit of physical exercise. It was a while ago.
Okay. I'm just wondering if they do that. Do they do that today, Anthony? Do they if you come in for if somebody refers you for a part in it, it's as a fight coordinator or a weapons coordinator, does the audition process, what is it? Like, is it just word of mouth, he knows how to do it, let's just hire him and you don't have to be auditioning, or how does it work today?
The problem is people lie, and people have been encouraged to lie and say, just, no matter what they ask, tell them you can do it. And you can go out and learn. Well, since nothing worthwhile is learned in a big hurry, it is a life process. That being said, I specialize in coaching people so that they can look, so they create the illusion of being very, very accomplished in a minimum amount of time.
Well, if you're coming in as an actor, they usually start with whether they like your reading, and then they want to see what your physical level of skill is. So there will be a professional such as myself there who will have put together, a small routine, that you will then perform for. You'll have a little bit of rehearsal time, and you'll perform it for the director. And, he will see what he likes, and you will give your opinion, and yes, this person's very trainable, or, oh boy, I don't know, this person really needs needs more time than we have. So it behooves you to have taken some responsibility for your own training prior to that. The more skills you have, the more employable you are.
Yeah, more confident you can be.
Mm-hmm. And you can, exactly. And you can create an opportunity for yourself. You can separate yourself from, the many other people who are trying to get the same job. You'd ask me if you're coming in for the job of the site coordinator, then you usually have a body of work and you've been recommended by people and you will have footage on yourself and they will interview you, not unlike when you're interviewing for a part. They will want to know, why should we hire you? Do you have any ideas about this? What are your thoughts on this particular project or these styles? And again, that's where your knowledge and your creativity comes into play and helps you rise to the top of the list.
Oh my gosh. Well, hopefully you'll rise. It's a competitive world. So definitely actors improve those skills if you're currently taking classes. Now, what is this I hear, Anthony, that you created the role of Kazon leader? Is it Maje Kalla for Star Trek Voyager? Oh my God. That seems like a huge honor. How did you come upon this opportunity?
Well, I went through the audition process. It apparently had been looking for a while because I wasn't, I wasn't in the first round of people that they read. And then I got a chance to come in and read for Jerry Taylor, the producer, and got the role. And the funny thing was, when I first looked at it, I thought that this particular character, his first Maje Kalla, he was essentially the leader of the Kazon Empires, and I ended up doing five guest star appearances on the show, which was a whole lot of fun. It gave me a chance to really build a character and have an arc. But initially, I thought he was romancing Janeway. And then I got the part, and then I went, oh, well, no, that's not the case, but okay. I do now.
Woo! Boy, I don't know if you could romance Janeway. She's a little hard.
She's a tough cookie. Well, I got to smack her around a little bit. I got to maroon the crew and steal Voyager and end one season and then begin the next season when they got the ship back. So it was a whole lot of fun.
Oh my gosh, I gotta watch those scenes. Now I'm gonna have to go on Netflix and watch it all. That's exciting. Now you also guest starred on a ton of my favorite shows. And again, your list is so extensive, just too many. But let's talk about what it was like to work on one of two of my favorite shows, which are NCIS LA and Grimm. Oh my God, I'm obsessed with these shows. Grimm, oh my God. Oh God, I love that show. I can't wait until it comes back. So tell us, again, was it through the normal audition process? And what were your characters on the show?
Well, my first character on Grimm was, I was coming in as a judge, and this was kind of a highly specialized part. I didn't really have any dialogue, but I was opening the show. And the director, the stunt coordinator, Matt Taylor, I thought they needed somebody who, could get knocked around quite a bit, by this ogre character and really essentially get beaten to death. And the coordinator showed my picture to Terrence O'Hara, was the director. And as it happened, Terrence, when I was guest starring on Renegade with Lorenzo Lamas, that was his first chance to direct action. So he remembered me very well, both as an actor and then as someone who handled themselves. So that was the first time. And then I came back again the next season. This time I was working as a stuntman, and I was doubling Chris Mulkey, very, very talented actor. And this one was pretty rigorous. It was wintertime. I believe it was like 12 degrees outside, and I was jumping off of a truck and tackling a guy who, I think he probably weighed about 320 pounds, and, hitting the ground, and the ground was like asphalt. But I started in theater. I played Iago twice. There are times when it's a lot easier to do dialogue than to be a stuntman. But I do both.
So So did you work on NCIS LA? Did you work with LL Cool J or with O'Donnell? Who did you – were you on a scene with them?
I met them both. I met them both in the trailer. They were very, very nice. I was working with the young couple, and I was –
Oh, yeah, the two cute –
The homeless man.
Yeah.
He was called the Gray Man, and he was somebody that he used to be a homeless man, and he gets attacked by some people, and all of a sudden he transforms into somebody who's obviously had very deep training and who turned out to be a deep cover operative. So that was a fun role.
Oh, my gosh, I love those shows. Ah! Okay, so as a fight director and choreographer, you are known for your skill and knowledge in just a broad range of bladed weapons arts, and you're always building your action from combative truth to tell a more dynamic action story. So what are some of your ways that you go about doing this to get the result you want?
Well, to me, because I started as an actor, and I will always be an actor, first, by which I mean I'm a storyteller. If you're utilizing weaponry, there's a couple of things that come into play. First off, whatever you're using, and this is very important for actors, is an extension of you. It's an extension of your personality, of your will, and then the skill of, you know, the character that you're playing. So, you will have chosen that weapon, and you will use it in a way that reflects your personality. So not all swords are the same. They come from different traditions. They have different shapes. They have different, some of them are pointed, some of them are edged weapons, some of them are curved, some of them are straight, some of them are flexible. All of these are storytelling opportunities. So that's how I always look at it. How can I drive the story, make it more interesting for the audience, and then how can I reveal something specific about my character that separates me from everybody else? It's a higher bar to set, but I think it's well worth it because it's more effective for the audience.
And because of your massive amount of experience and your expert skills, you approach it. Well, I mean, my God, it took me like 3 hours to read all of your credits and all your training. So you come at it from an actor's point of view, and you also come at it from your skill training in weaponry and fighting. So you're able to combine both perspectives to get the best result is what I feel. So that is something that as an actor you want to think about adding these skills, because not only will you be able to come at it from the perspective as an actor, but your training will also help you to get the result that the director may want, or the fight coordinator. You'll be able to get it right away. It'll be someone that say, hey, he understands, he has the knowledge, let's work with him, because it's all about money. So you also created a more efficient, as we were talking about earlier, you briefly touched upon this, but you created a more efficient, effective, and visual style of whip work for Michelle Pfeiffer's Catwoman, and also Harrison Ford's Indiana Jones in Crystal Skull. I love that movie. Now, was the whip work choreographed already, or were you hired to come in and create it from scratch?
Well, it was two kind of different projects. My favorite was Batman Returns with Michelle Pfeiffer, because I got to train Michelle for 6 weeks, and then Michelle requested that I be on set whenever she was working, which was very smart because I could help her look at the adversity of the location, and we could turn that into a character and story opportunity. We actually created choreography on the spot because I'd given her such a good vocabulary of skills. So we could come in and, like when we did the Ice Princess, you know, actually Tim Burton had said, I don't think there's any whip work in this scene. I went, yes, sir. And then I watched a rehearsal, and then I took Michelle aside and I said, you know, if you were to swing in on your whip here and then cut the girl loose and dump the chair, having a whip on one hand and the chair in the other, says Lion Tamer, the
world over. And that's when he said, she goes, Anthony has this idea. And so she dropped in on her whip. She cut the girl loose with her nail and slit her bondage, dumped the chair, cracked the whip through the chair, wrapped the girl around the waist with her whip, pulled her in, did her line of dialogue in a two shot, and we were done. We rehearsed it twice and shot it, and we were done with the scene. And it brought, this whole other thing there. Because she had gotten so good, and because she saw, there's a story and character opportunity here. With Crystal Stahl, Harrison hadn't been Indiana Jones in 19 years, so it was returning to the screen, and they were very intent on, doing things that they had kind of done before. But Harrison saw my reel, and he could see the structure that I had put into this. So he called me up personally, which was great. And then he trained with me for 5 weeks, and I had him all set. But I actually did get to do, I went to one location to, get him started. But I didn't have the same hands-on daily, walk in and stage things. So with Michelle, we actually walked in and we would stage things pretty much on the spot and, and then shoot it. We didn't have a lot of rehearsal, but we didn't need it because we had so much training. So, again, it was the nature of the project, and obviously I enjoyed working with Michelle more simply because we got to be more creative together.
Well, as a man,
Harrison, I got him ready, and then he pretty much took, he and the stunt coordinator, did stuff on location.
Yeah, as a man, who wouldn't want to work with that beautiful woman, Michelle Pfeiffer? My God.
Well, there was that.
there might have been that, Anthony. Now, I want to talk about DPACA, DeLonge's Performance and Combat Arts, which is the Rancho Indalo or Indalo Riders. You have a ranch, and please check that out, website DeLonge's.com and then /Indalo. Now, you've taught and performed with, as we just talked, Harrison Ford, Michelle Pfeiffer, Jet Li, Tom Cruise, who I've seen interviewed many times, and he says he absolutely does his own stunts. You work with Brendan Fraser, Christian Kane, Angelica Houston, Bo Derek, Placido Domingo would do in that area, but just and a legion of others. So you have, and correct me if I'm wrong, you have this facility or ranch on top of a mountain, and professionals in the entertainment industry come from across the country and also around the world to train with you at Rancho Indalo. And from what I understand, it's a one-stop multi-skills training facility located in Canyon County, and for those of you who are not familiar with LA, that's about 45 minutes north of Universal Studios. So this is where Anthony has a school, and he teaches and trains how to stay performance sharp. And this is the first time I've heard of all of these disciplines being taught at one facility. He trains on whips, swords, weapons on horseback, on-site live fire gun range, archery, knife, and hawk throwing. Go figure. I don't know what that is, but I don't know about what you do throwing a hawk. He also has a 400-foot zip line, world-class riding opportunities, and here's my favorites. As if when I was reading these things, I thought, what is it? Did I read this right? He also offers fine dining and a spa. I'm like, what the hell? That's the perfect package. It's like the total package. Now, Anthony, I know that you offer an action vacation package where a person can train to be their favorite action hero. So I'm like, what the hell's going on up there? It's like a whole compound. It's like under the dome. So my questions are these. Is this a package deal for professional entertainment industry people only, or do you offer your classes to the general public as well?
Yes.
I like that. Okay. And let me ask you, yes, as in both, do these classes last for a certain time period, and does a person actually stay there, like at a hotel or a lodge, or can a person just come each week for one certain class? Tell us how it works.
Well, they stay with us. This is our home. So we're inviting people into our home for intensive one-on-one training. I prefer small groups. People come as individuals, people come as couples, both professionals and, enthusiastic amateurs who, want to train and have an action vacation. We also, I get groups, the Australian Stunt Academy has come and trained with me for the last 9 years, and they come for 11 days. Most people come for, I prefer they come for 2 or 3 days rather than just one, because there is so much that we can do. I can speed your learning curve, but I want you to walk away not only having had a good time, but having learned something and learned how to keep training. So this is an investment in yourself if you're a professional. We also, it's basically, we will craft a syllabus depending on your ambitions, what it is that you want to achieve, and then what it is you'd like to learn. But everything I teach connects to everything else. So it's really very cool. I have one student who comes in from Paris. This will be his third time returning, and he's coming in for 10 days next month. So we kind of make arrangements with the individual or individuals, and depending on my work schedule, we arrange it around that. And I love to teach because it keeps me performance sharp, and I get the joy of watching somebody else discover things and people teach me how to teach them. I teach in a very individual way. And depending on what you know, you reveal to me how best to impart the information to you. So it's a mutual adventure, and I very much so. I taught at UCLA for 19 years, the theater department. I've been a professional teacher almost 40 years now. You asked about opera. I stayed at Jack Centrelli Opera for 20 years. So I've kind of had a piece of, I've experienced almost every aspect of the entertainment industry. So
my
I can share that.
God, first of all, I don't even know what hawk throwing is, but I can't
see fast
enough. Oh, a tomahawk. Okay.
Tomahawk,
I just read hawk throwing. I'm like, what's hawk throwing? I physically thought you captured hawks and then threw them. I'm like, what? What is he doing up there? What the hell is he doing up there? Well, I'm telling you, this sounds like an action vacation package that I would love to take, but let me ask you. I'm going to just throw it out there for the poor actors that would love to be able to and be honored to take your classes, but it sounds like this might be expensive. And so let's find out if that's the case. And not for like the professionals, they can afford it, but can the average actor actually, they want to add some skills to their resume, would they be able to afford these classes?
We have very reasonable rates. If people live locally, we also do things where, they come up and we do half days or we do a couple hours at a time. I can't do it for free because,
Assets
that's available are expensive, but I would rather somebody learn something. I don't do this to make a lot of money. I do it because I love to do it, and it is one of the ways that we bring, money in to keep the ranch running, to keep the facility going. This is where my school is, and this is where people come to me. But I try to work with people's budgets.
All right. Well, see that.
And it's an investment in yourself as a professional.
It is. Yes. It is so important. I stress this to actors all the time when I see their resumes and they don't have too many things on their under their additional skills. And I have many casting director friends and I say, what do you look at when you're thinking of hiring an actor? Obviously, looks is number one because you have to look the part. But the second thing they go to, they turn your resume over, if it's a physical resume, if it's not online, they go to the second thing, which is your additional skills training, if they're looking for a specific thing that they need.
Mm-hmm.
And the third thing they look at in that order is who you taught with, followed by, what your credits are. So it is so important, actors, to be able to do some of these things to broaden your tool set, your tool chest, and to learn whips and swords and weapons and horseback and firing guns and archery and knife throwing. And not only for a man, but my girls need to be pumping up the volume on their skills. And these things are for females as well. So I want, I would love to talk about that. Again, one of the many great things, Anthony, as you know, being an actor, is the ability to try new things and learn skills that are enjoyable. So along, you know, with boosting the chances of getting a role by adding more skills to your resume, in your opinion, which martial arts or additional skills is most beneficial to a career in acting for males and females? Again, they're starting out, not a large budget. So what would you say they could at least afford and is most important right now to help book the job?
Well, something that you're excited about. What I tell people, after going, it's very personal. You should go and audit a couple of classes or observe a couple of classes and go, do I like the information? Do I like how the information is being presented? Do I like the students? Are they a good reflection of the teacher and what's being presented? If so, that's probably a good place for you. You can, if you're working on the budget, you can look into things like adult education or community colleges. You can look and see who has basic workshops. But look and see what's the information that's being taught and how is it being taught. You can spend a lifetime on any martial art and still not even begin to touch the depth of, what's there. As a performer, what you're looking for is something that's going to make you stronger, more flexible, give you more confidence, and give you some skills to tell a better story, to give yourself a physical presence and credibility, and then also to be able to protect yourself. Meaning that one of the things that I teach people right away is there is a structure. And I've been studying, as I said, over 44 years and counting. I never stop training. So I'm always adding to my own skill set, and that's what I share with people. That's how I can help accelerate my students' learning curves. But that there is a foundation that, at least the way I teach, that allows you to move very smoothly from one art to another art, using a weapon, not having a weapon. And then everything you learn, just adds to your arsenal of skills. So something you learn over here, in a European sword class, you would be able to take and, I can take these principles and use a weapon of opportunity, a found thing like a fireplace poker or a spatula in a kitchen or, a piece of surgical tubing or, my belt or whatever. Things that you're learning is a sensitivity to your partner's energy and awareness of the distance. And you're having a conversation. To me, any physical action, it's a dialogue with movement as opposed to, with words. But you're still making character choices. You are still articulating sentences. And just like in a good acting scene, when you're doing verbal dialogue, they often say that the best acting is listening. Well, the same thing happens. It is a conversation. The minute it becomes just one person talking, then it's not effective and it's not very interesting.
Right.
This will make you a better actor.
It
if
will.
You approach it in that
it
manner.
It will. Now, Anthony, we only have a couple minutes left, but I would love for you to take 1 minute on each one of these, and then we have to wrap it up. But I also wanted to let people know that you've also produced DVD instructionals on the saber, the rapier for stage and screen. You have the Delonge's method for broadsword for the stage and screen, your method for Spanish rapier, Italian rapier, French small sword, and knife throwing. Those are things I didn't talk about, but these are also things that Anthony has, DVD instructionals as well. So go to his website, delongis.com, D-E-L-O-N-G-I-S.com. And these are things that are becoming more and more incorporated. Writers are writing more of these little fancy things. So it's always good to know those skills as well. Now, let's end this with, I want to tell everyone that you are heading to the Underwood Family Farms Wild West Weekend on October 24th and 25th, and you're going to be performing your whip show and synchronized bull whip tango for the seventh consecutive year. So who would you encourage to come to this event, and what will they learn, and how can we find out more about this event and purchase tickets?
Well, if you go to Underwood Family Farms and look Wild West Weekend, you'll see us. But as you said, it's the 24th and 25th, Saturday and Sunday. We do three shows a day. They start, I believe, about 11 o'clock and run till, I think, about 2:45 is the last show. I talk a little bit about the whip, which is the first man-made tool to break the sound barrier. It's 5,000 years old. That's why I'm very proud of having, created something new and more effective in a tool that's 5,000 years old. I talk about working with it in film, it's a whole lot of fun. It's a harvest festival, so there's all kinds of great food and produce, and there's music and entertainment, and if you have small children, it is very family friendly. The pigs and all kinds of other things like that. It's fun for kids, it's fun for adults, and we're pretty entertaining. And at the end of the show, we have people come up, and anybody who wants to crack a whip, and we've had them as young as 3 and as old as 80. So come on and join us.
Yes!
We love doing live shows, and I try to always, find time with my work schedule a couple times a year to do live shows, because you have to rise to the occasion. There's no back to one like there is in the movies. If something goes wrong in the movies, you go, back to one, we'll do it again. In a live show, you better be good enough to be able to make it work the first time. So we like to do them.
Well, I want to tell, I want everyone to please go to his website, Delongis, DELONGIS.com. And I'm assuming that you have all that information about the Underwood Family Farms Wild West Weekend. But if you don't, it's Saturday, October 24th and Sunday, October the 25th. And you can just Google it, Underwood Family Farms Wild West Weekend. Lastly, you wrote and directed the first two chapters of your award-winning West trilogy, Blood Trail and the Trail Home, and you're currently penning chapter 3, Trails In, and I know that you want to get some financial support via your Indiegogo campaign to get the final chapter made and turn the trilogy into a film. So I want everyone to please go to Indiegogo.com and help our wonderful guests to get today that gave you so much information to make this film. So go to Indiegogo.com and type in his name, Anthony, DELONGIS, or type in Blood Trail or The Trail Home, and please help donate some money to help them get this made. And I want to thank Indiegogo, go there now and help Mr. Anthony, and get on over to his farm, Rancho Indalo Riders. It's for everyone, apparently. So please go to his website, check it out, and take some of these classes. Improve your skills. Thank you so much for being on the show, Anthony. Thank you for giving such wonderful advice to all of the aspiring actors. Really appreciate it so, so much.
Thank you, Priscilla, and we hope you'll come out and join us one of these days.
Oh, Lord, if I went out there and tried any of those things, I'd be dead within 30 seconds. Are you kidding
me?
No,
you wouldn't.
Oh, yeah. Of course, my husband would try to get me on that 400-foot zip line to collect the insurance, but all right, that's another story. Thank you so much, Anthony. We hope you'll come back next year with us. Thank you so much. Say goodbye to your fans.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Thank you so much.
Bye. So we'll see you next week on Question Reality. Bye-bye.
You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona. right here on LA Talk Radio.